KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Wednesday, everyone. You know what time it is. It's time for Art Speak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, and I'll be here from noon to 1 on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We love that you're tuned in to us, listening online, kkfi.org. I want to say hello to Bruce and Rose and Tony. Everyone that's listening are wonderful support of people and people around the world, money in Germany. So today's program, we have Consuelo Cruz, Crystal Highland, Clint Metcalf. They're all going to call in today, and we're going to find out what's new in their world. So stick around. We'll be right back. And I'm back, and we just love our Mark Manning. He's a creative, wonderful leader, colleague, mentor. Love him as we shove him out the door. Goodbye. We love him. I do want to mention that on the line we have Consuelo Cruz, who is the Marketing and Community Engagement Manager for Belger Cartage Service, Inc. and Belger Arts. She has over 15 years of experience forming and cultivating partnerships with diverse stakeholders in nonprofit, corporate, and government sectors. Now, she believes deeply in the value of the arts and education and bridging cultures and connecting communities. She has served as Director of Latino Cultural Arts Division and Director of Development for the Maddie Road Center, as an interpreter, an adjunct Spanish instructor, and most recently as the Arts Marketing Coordinator for the Office of Culture and Creative Services, City of Kansas City, Missouri. We want to welcome Consuelo online. So hello, Consuelo.
Hello, Maria. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Always a treat to have you on and talk about, you know, the wonderful world of arts. And your excitement, enthusiasm, and support is just phenomenal. So thank you for joining us today. We're going to talk about what's happening at the Belger Arts. Belgerarts.org is the website. If you want to kind of follow along and, you know, let's get started, Consuelo. It's great to have you.
Thank you. And thank you for providing a platform from arts organizations and individual artists. I mean, your program really, updates everybody in the community. So thank you for having me on to share what's happening in our organization. We continue to have programming at both of our locations, our Belger Arts Center location here in the Crossroads at 2100 Walnut. And at Tracy, east of Troost, at Belger Crane Yard Studios. COVID has made this one heck of a year for everybody in the city, in the world. But what has come out of that are new collaborations, new partnerships, and really a revisiting of our programs so that we can, you know, when we're up and running again fully, we could reconnect with new programs. So one of the things that we're launching this summer, because we took a little break from it because of COVID, is our children's programming. We have kids classes that are starting up in June. We also have summer art camp that is back for youth and teens, so 7 to 12-year-olds in our teen program. So all of that information is on our website. We're excited to have young students in our building, and we kind of were doing this thoughtfully in terms of reconnecting to that age group, because we wanted to be thoughtful and cautious during this time, and we've had virtual and in-person classes for youth during this time, but we're happy to say that now we have public classes available on our website for anyone to sign up. So we hope that the new generation keeps coming in to experience our programs.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. I love that. You know, it's interesting as you know, we were shut down due to the pandemic. The creativity level has gone through the roof. So we're grateful for the artists and the creative community that has kept the arts going. And now trying to catch up with Belger Arts, it's a fantastic opportunity for our youth to get involved in some classes and really get their hands dirty, if you would, in the arts.
Yeah, and the other thing that we also started to do, and this started with a partnership with Cecily Phillips, who's the executive director of Inspired Aesthetics, which is a new nonprofit that works with area youth, is trying to communicate career opportunities that are available through the arts. Because I think a lot of times what happens is we take an art class, and then, you know, what do we do? Where do we go from there? And her organization works with kids who are interested in the arts. They're teens, but perhaps they want to take it even further than what's offered currently in school. So what we did with her and what we've proposed doing with other organizations and schools, we've been meeting with school districts virtually and individual organizations and schools, is, you know, we had the group in, and because we have such a great range of careers that are represented at Belger Crane Yard Studios, which is at 2011 Tracy, we took them on a tour of every aspect of that building. So we have Crane Yard Clay, which is a ceramic supply business, which exposed them to, you know, the retail and the wholesale side, equipment repairs, and, you know, all of that that goes kind of behind the scenes in the technical process of the creation of ceramic art. And we had them also go through our gallery, not just to see the exhibitions, but also to talk about, you know, what are some of the curatorial opportunities? How about art installation? How about retail and that the communications and marketing aspects of that? And then we also brought them through the studio side. You know, as you know, we have a studio membership, a robust studio membership, and a waiting list. Unfortunately, we don't have enough space for every studio member, but we have studio members who are involved in, you know, creating ceramics, who are professionals all the way to hobbyists. So for students to get kind of a review of what is available, and really having some of the staff talk to them about, you know, what they experienced in school, and give recommendations about, you know, who to talk to and where to go in terms of looking for that next school to attend. So that's kind of a new offering that kind of organically came out of a new partnership with one organization. So we're hoping to grow that. Then we also had them come to our Walnut location, where we also have a studio space, and they got to actually work on the wheel and do hand building and work with artists after touring an exhibition that we have upstairs, the William Christenberry exhibition. So we're always looking to find ways to partner with organizations so that our programs are a resource and a supplement to what they do, and not just one more thing that they have to create. And we also want, especially the younger generation, to understand the wealth of offerings that are out in our city, because, you know, especially when you're isolated because of COVID, you know, we want to make sure that we, by our collaborations, we're not just connecting with us, but we're connecting you to other organizations that are out there for adults and children.
No, that's fantastic. I mean, that really makes sense to begin to cultivate that new generation of curators and people who install and work behind the scenes of the art, because it's so complex that, you know, people just think, oh, look, you just, you know, put a nail up on the wall and poof, you're done. And there's it's so much more than that. And I think a lot of times when we think of a career in the arts, we think about the artists themselves and less about what it takes to create this environment, this gallery, this, you know, relationship with artists and who want to exhibit their work. So I think that's fantastic. What a great way to really, you know, plant that seed. If you just joined us, this is Art Speak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd. I'm talking with Consuelo Cruz, who is the Marketing and Community Engagement Manager for Belger Cartridge Service, Inc., and Belger's Arts. There are two locations, and one is on Tracy, the other is in the Crossroads on Walnut. And, you know, if you could help people kind of define what one space does over the other. I know it's both arts-related, but help them understand, if you would, please.
Sure. So Belger Arts Center was the first arts location, and that was over 20 years ago. One of the galleries that kind of, you know, was one of the earlier galleries that started in the Crossroads. And we have we're housed in the Belger Cartridge Service, Inc. building, corporate building. It's a national headquarters. And for anyone who's not familiar with Belger Cartridge Service, it's a 100-year-old crane and heavy haul company that has locations throughout the Midwest and does projects throughout the country. So that's the parent company of all of us. And then we have what we have happening at the 2100 Walnut location is we have free tours and exhibitions. Right now we have an exhibition of William Christenberry that is an iconic artist who is part of the Belger collection. So we have exhibitions that are not just from the Belger collection, works from the Belger collection, which is an extensive contemporary art collection, but we also have individual and group exhibitions that of artists who are not necessarily from the collection. We also have a studio space where we have date night classes. So if anybody is interested in just trying to, you know, see if they like ceramics or just to have fun, whether you're, you know, on a date or whether you just want to spend time with a family member or bring a friend, we have date nights that are happen over several towards the end of the week, like Thursday through Saturday. And those sell out like this weekend for Mother's Day weekend. We're sold out already. So please check our website to see if that's something that you want to do soon. And we also have, you know, we've done virtual tours here because of COVID, too. Sure. We recently did that with Shawnee Mission, with two Shawnee Mission school art teachers. So we're open to in-person and virtual tours. So that's pretty much what happens in a nutshell here at Walnut. And that's also where our summer art camp is going to take place and our kids' classes will take place. And so about 8 years ago, the Belger Crane Art Studios was established, and that is a ceramics art complex that has, like I mentioned, a Crane Yard Clay, which is a ceramics supply business. They will travel up to 200 miles from Kansas City to work on your kiln, to do repairs, to sell you supplies. We have an online store for that. That's kcclay.com that you can go. We sell 3D printers on kcclay.com too. A wealth of supplies and equipment that's there for the ceramic artist, and school districts are our customers as well. We also have Belger Crane Yard Studios, which is the home of our resident artist program. We have six resident artists who work out of that studio, as well as about 50 artists who rent space out of that studio that's east of Troost. Then we also have a gallery with exhibitions, also contemporary artwork. So we've got two art hubs in the East Crossroads and the Crossroads that's closer to downtown Kansas City, Missouri. So that's in a nutshell what is happening. And we have lots of exhibitions that are happening too. Oh, well, we have adult classes at our 2011 Tracy location as well.
And you can find more information about Belger, everything that Consuelo mentioned today, at belgerarts.org. Will you be available? Will you be open for First Friday this
yes.
week? Yeah,
yes,
so tell us what are some of the exhibitions that are currently up.
Yeah, so at our 2100 Walnut location, we have the William Christenberry exhibition. called Tracing Time. I really encourage folks to come out because there is some work here that has never been seen in Kansas City before. That exhibition closes on July 2nd. So I know time flies, so please make it up to see that exhibition. The work that is in that exhibition is about his relationship with Hale County, Alabama, which is a part of the country that he spent his summers as a youth, and he documents, that place over throughout his life. So it's about memory, it's about place, about that psychology of place. So it was really a nice exhibition to have up, especially during COVID, because we're all longing for that sense of place, that physical place. And then we also in June, we have an exhibition that's coming up at the 2100 Walnut Space called Not Quiet on the Western Front. It's works from the collection that are by artists from the California funk movement. So that's coming up in the summer. For First Friday at Belger Crane Art Studios, we have our After Hours exhibition, which is an exhibition of Belger Arts employees. So after a day of working hard at Belger Arts, they still created these incredible works that are on view. And that show is up through June 5th. We also have digital debut, Andrew Gilliatt, who's an artist who studied graphic design, graphic arts, and you can really see that influence in his ceramic work. And then later in the year, we will have Reset, which is our resident artist exhibition. That's in June. And then we have, I want to make sure that I don't miss out by telling you that we have an exhibition by Jonathan Christensen Caballero, who is on the faculty at KU, really incredible life-size, human-scale sculptural, multi-mixed-media sculptures that address issues of identity, of his personal history as well. And really, I don't want to take away from him because I know he's going to be on your show next week. But the human figure is very prominent in his work, and he has a lot of pre-Columbian iconography. There's a lot going on in his work, very thought-provoking and very compelling work, especially for the time that we're going through. So that's pretty much in a nutshell what we have on. But we have lots of information on our website, too, that's coming up.
Yeah, and more also information on your social media platforms, right?
Yes, we have Instagram and we have Facebook. We have all ways. And there's also the good old-fashioned telephone, so you can call us anytime with questions. I also want to tell you that, we were talking about two locations, but we also have a new location that we hope to open to the public. Yes, later on in the year, and it's a glass studio. It's a glass blowing studio. Yeah, and it's close to our Belger Crane Yard Studios location. It's actually something that's been in development since about 2018, if not a little bit sooner before that. And we are that space is currently under renovation, so not the entire building is up and running yet. So that's why we're being thoughtful and phasing the opening of that space. But in a couple of weeks, we are taking in renters who can rent, 4-hour time slots to use the equipment to blow glass. And we're really excited about that new endeavor.
No kidding.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on, and then there's a lot that's coming up.
Terrific. Consuelo Cruz, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. I love your excitement, your enthusiasm for the arts. We're so grateful for what you do in the community and so happy to hear all this stuff. Man, this good stuff with Belger Arts, belgerarts.org. And I know you're going to be back because we've scheduled you so. And, and you know what? I think we're going to have you live. So, yay, in studio.
Oh,
so that
great.
Will be lovely. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, my friend. And you stay well. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. And we're going to take a real quick break from Art Speak Radio as we get our next artist lined up. Stick around.
The 10th Voice is Kansas City's LGBTQ+ radio magazine. Every Saturday at 1 p.m., we feature a different host with interesting guests talking about a wide variety of topics that affect our community. Tune in Saturdays at 1 or stream us live at kkfi.org. The 10th Voice, because we refuse to be silent.
Play KKFI. That's all you have to tell your smart speaker to get the news, views, and music you love. I remember the first time I told my smart speaker to play KKFI. Within seconds, I was listening to the stream. Pretty cool. KKFI, wherever you are.
Up next, we have Clint Metcalf. He's on the phone today, and his bio reads like this. Our family moved to Kansas when I was in high school, and it was a bit of a culture shock for a punk kid from the Chicago area. But I survived those cowtown years and went to Colorado Art Institute in Denver. And after graduating with a design degree, moved to Kansas City where I worked in design and illustration for several years until 2009, when I decided to start playing for keeps and painting full-time. Now, over 10 years later, with countless shows and commissions and dipped into my 50s, I'm feeling as if I'm beginning to paint my best work yet, considering the circumstances and challenges life never stops throwing our way. Hello, Clint. I love that bio.
Thanks, Maria. How are you doing?
I'm good. I think I could cross out your name and put my name there, except I didn't go to Colorado. But we're so happy to have you on air. You know, one of the wonderful things about Facebook is that it shows you a broader range of people across the world and even in our own city that are doing some really beautiful work. And you are no exception. I was caught by some of the work that you have posted and really wanted to talk to you. And at that time, you reached out to me. So let's talk about your painting, because one thing that struck me about your work was that you don't use this out of the tube color. You like mixing your own, right?
That's absolutely right. Yeah, I have all kinds of little like personal rules when it comes to like the artist I'm going to be. And one of them in particular is tubed or bottled paint.
Oy.
You know, I'm not taking anything away from the artists that do that.
Sure.
And my peers that are listening are rolling their eyes right now because I am
that
guy. but, you know, I always say it doesn't even matter if it's white.
Yeah.
I'm going to mix in a little light blue and a little pearlescent. And there's at least three colors to every color I use.
You know, and, I believe that, yeah.
And it's just, you know, you really, when you look at my work photograph, you're not going to pick up those nuances. You have to be standing right in front of them. And this whole pandemic and everything has really been a nightmare for a guy that was dependent upon showing. You
sure,
know,
I
had shows all the time and needed shows all the time. So Facebook's been a real interesting opportunity to just kind of put that out there and shoot some silly videos of myself doing this business and talking about these kind of, you know, rules I've put upon myself as being an artist, and it's just been really fascinating, and I don't know, it seems to be doing maybe better than ever, even with the lack of shows, so
yeah,
it's really, truly fascinating.
I love hearing that. You know, again, your work, if we could share with people any social media platforms or websites, maybe they can follow along or take a look later, but your work, what is the inspiration? What sort of guides your creativity?
Well, everyone that knows me and knows my world at all, I'm a muse-driven artist, probably more so than maybe any artist.
Mm-hmm.
And the muse is important to me. I mean, while many things will act as a muse throughout your life, you know, having that one kind of person that fills your sails with wind and just pushes your ship through those dead calms,
mm-hmm.
that's important for me. I need that. And oddly enough, that's been a challenge this particular year. You know, and muses don't come and go for me. I've got three in my entire life.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And they're just super important people to me. I love all three of them. I'm still wonderful friends with all three of them. You know, it's just, it's an interesting aspect of that. But something about having that wind in my sails makes me want to go, well, for lack of a better word, the way I've always described it is kind of show off to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you know, I need to feel full to go make pretty. That's what I always say, you know, and there's been you know, I suffered some heartbreak here earlier in the year, and you know, there's been a lot of incredible creativity that has come from heartbreak.
Yeah, it's so true.
Famously Van Gogh, someone that gets me a little closer. Lee Krasner, you know, I'm a big Pollock guy. You know?
Yeah.
So there are these artists that have done incredible things, you know, poetry, writing, paint, all of it, you know, that comes from heartbreak. But, but I just can't do that. That is not going to work for me. So, you know, I had to just keep pushing through. And that's the thing. I've been doing this long enough, and with my background and, you know, design and years of illustration and that kind of stuff. I mean, once you know what art looks like, it's not that hard to make some of it. You know,
I like that. No, that's great. I mean, I love that. Yeah.
Well, I'll have friends, you know, I'll have peers ask me about, you know, this or that success that seemed to have come kind of earlier to me than it did for maybe them. And I'll just suggest, you know, well, one thing, I'm not painting for myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing I always tell people is if I could hit a baseball 450 feet, that's what I'd be doing for a living.
Yeah.
I don't get incredibly gushy feelings from creating, and yet I entirely do, you know, but it's not my sole purpose. I don't have to create because, boy, that's the only thing I know to do. Now, I can find plenty of things, so I'm set.
Well, you know,
but what I'm good at, I guess, my top skill set is making pretty stuff, you know, and like I said, with experience and time and background, you know, you start to learn that, you know, some colors are, they're better than others for making a painting that you want to sell to somebody. And some strokes are, you know, for lack of a better word, are artier than other strokes, you know.
Would you call yourself an emotional painter in terms of, you know, what sort of colors you begin with? Oh, you know, I'm feeling a certain way, or I want to respond to this with feelings and with color. Would you categorize yourself of somewhat of a painter like that?
I think I'd have to say that only because so often when I'm talking to anyone about my work, you know, big color is what comes to mind. I don't really think on myself like a color painter, and yet obviously they are. The colors are loud and explosive and dynamic and things like that. And you know, you're asking me this question, and right now I am in such a pink zone. And the funny thing is, if you saw me walking down the street, one, nobody would think that guy's a painter. and secondly, nobody would think he's in his pink time of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But something's going on with me in pink. It's beautiful, and I love it.
And I love that you admit that, because a lot of times, you know, a lot of times that I've talked to painters and all that, it's like they don't have... They have a different kind of approach to their work, where it's almost as though they're fighting the work and sort of like struggling through it. And what I'm hearing from you is that you're really enjoying the process, really enjoying the color and the work, the content and all that. I don't think artists really have to kind of, you know, feel obligated to feel like they have to suffer, you know, with their art or through their art, you know.
You know, I like to adhere to this thing that Chuck Close used to say all the time, and that's inspiration's for amateurs. The rest of us just show up and get to work.
I love that.
And it's so factual. I mean, it's like I said, what I did yesterday, I'm going to do something similar today, and then, you know, a few days from now, it's still going to be kind of similar, because I have quit painting in the voice of painters before me, and you know, 10 or 15 years ago, I found my own voice in painting, which is, any painter will tell you, that's the damned hardest thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and once you start speaking and communicating with a brush through your own voice, it gets a lot easier, and then that struggle becomes less. The struggle for me is more just the, okay, time to make the donuts. <You know? laughs>
I love that. You know, if
you
just
get in the studio and chop at it for 8 hours, you know.
Absolutely. If you just joined us, this is Art Speak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd talking with Clint Metcalf, artist, painter, and work really incredible. I'm really moved by your work. We're going to take a real quick break for take two, and then we're going to come back with Clint Metcalf on the phone, and then we'll head over to talk to Crystal Highland at 1240. So stick around. Don't go away. Don't go away, Clint.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two, two takes of a movie currently playing in theaters or streaming.
Minari is a quietly engaging story about a Korean family who settle in Arkansas. It's based on biographical material from the writer-director Lee Isaac Chung.
And Susan, I'd call it the very definition of a pleasant surprise. This low-key family drama is about a Korean-American family that goes through many trials and tribulations as they try to start a farm in rural Arkansas in the 1980s. Stephen Yeun from The Walking Dead fame and Han Yi-ri are excellent as the parents of two young kids who face formidable, emotionally wrenching challenges adapting to life in the Ozarks.
This is an intimate study focusing on relationships, expectations, and family life. The characters are so rich and the acting is authentic.
Agreed. Most of the story is told through the eyes of David, a 7-year-old boy.
The young son has heart trouble, but he's full of life and very curious. It's a simple story, but packs a wallop. Yoon Yeo Jung, who had the role of grandmother, won this year's Oscar for Best Supporting Actress. The title Minari comes from a fast-growing, hardy weed that has health benefits.
And like that resilient weed, this transplanted family shows that it has resilience too. In spite of all the obstacles, the family finds a way to thrive.
The plot unfolds with the worries and tensions of the husband and wife opposite the delightful experiences the grandmother has with her grandson, watching wrestling.
Minari is a warm and affectionate tale that serves as an absolute to the fortitude of family.
It's a simple story, but packs a wallop.
We're on the same page on this one. I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two.
Maria Vasquez-Boyd here with you on ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We have on the line Clint Metcalf. Hello, Clint.
Hey, hi.
I'm glad to have you back. We were talking about your work and your sort of your discipline, your colors, which are very, very rich. I love the flow and the movement of your brush strokes. Do you have some shows coming up? I know it's still pretty early in the year, but
it was really tough. I really wanted to schedule this conversation and have a show, you know, on Friday night.
Well, I'll be over. I'm just kidding.
Flying with two different galleries, nobody there was just too much uncertainty about First Friday in May. To answer that though, no, I technically don't have anything right now. I've got to get out and look at some galleries and see what I think of their walls and see if I can't get them to hang some work.
It's
been a stitch since I've had a solo show, and I'm Jones
and
for one.
You and me both. But, you know, at this time, too, it also gives you a opportunity to sort of take stock and figure out where it goes from here and, you know, put together some more canvases, some paint, and all of that. So, I mean, it's a good time, right?
Well, all that. And being now dipping my toe into my 50s.
Yeah.
You know, they say an artist is coming into their own, you know, between 50 and 55 and doing some of their best work. You know, you've seen a lot of life. You've experienced a lot of life. Now it's time to paint that stuff. And I think that's exactly what's happening to me right now. And it's really weird because even though I knew it, I always just kind of knew that, compartmentalized it, thought 50s are a long time from now. Well, no, now they're here.
Knock, knock, they're at your door. Well, you know, and also I think with that comes a fair amount of confidence. It's like, you know what, I got this. Whereas, you know, younger self would be a little stressed out, a little unsure, a little anxious and all that. And now it's like, meh, I can see around corners and everything's going to turn out just fine. You know.
Unquestionably. Yeah, and I love talking to younger artists and trying to help them and stuff with those kinds
of
things.
Well,
I definitely remember them.
Yeah.
And you're right. They do just kind of come to pass. And you are, that's a great way to put it, you are able to see around corners. And that's the biggest challenge, is all the corners that you get presented.
Now, Clint,
and then just actually knocking out the work isn't easy either. Yeah. My paintings are big, and they start with strokes that are as big as a house painting brush and go down to, you know, dots that I put on with a sewing needle.
Sure, sure.
So, they take a spell.
If you would share with us any social media platforms that our listeners can take a look at.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And it's pretty simple. It's just my name. It's Clint Metcalf, and that's my Facebook, that's my website, and my Instagram. And that's pretty much the only things I'm currently using. But just ClintMetcalf.com, and just search my name. I think there's one other Clint Metcalf in the world, and we've actually talked.
Don't get us confused.
And both thought we were the only ones walking the earth with that name.
Hey, Clint, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Do you have any final words that you want to share with us before we sign off with you?
No, nothing other than just thanks a bunch. Listen to Consuelo, I thought, man, I got to take Belgium more seriously.
No,
I got to get over
right?
there and see that place.
Yeah.
You were talking about Mark Manning. We're old buddies. Hi, Mark.
I love him. So, yeah, he's my radio husband.
And I'm excited to get off here and listen to Crystal because I've been a longtime fan of her work. So.
I know.
She's really special.
I so miss her very much. But, Clint, it was terrific talking with you, and I promise we'll have you back. You know, you can come back. My door is open. This is community radio. This gives everyone a platform to share their work and tell us who you are. And, you know, when you are ready and want to share something about an upcoming exhibition or whatever, give me a holler.
Will do for sure. I appreciate your time, Maria. Thanks.
You bet, my friend. And we're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back with ArtSpeak Radio.
AI has been discouraging the use of words that dehumanize people in the wake of the Black Lives Matter movement. So what about words like illegal and alien? This week on the Heartland Labor Forum, we discuss the book A is for Asylum, How We Talk About Immigration. Then, volunteer Tom Gepkin interviews our lead producer, Judy Ansel. He calls her the heart of the Labor Forum. Tune in Thursday at 6 p.m., rebroadcast Friday, 5 a.m.
KKFI is here for you all year long, and so is the Prize Closet. You can see all kinds of KKFI gifts, hats, shirts, glasses, water bottles, koozies, bandanas, even guest DJ certificates, and much more. The Prize Closet is our online way to get you a thank you gift for your support of your community radio station. You can always find a link on our homepage or check it out today at kkfi.org/prizecloset. Thank you for your support.
This is ArtSpeak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd from noon to one here on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, every Wednesday. So thanks so much for tuning and joining us and listening online at kkfi.org. Next up, we have the beautiful and talented Crystal Hyland, an artist. We're going to talk about Spectrum, a visual art exhibition by Crystal on display April 2nd through May 29th of this year, and that's going to be at the Lidi Volkis. I want to share with you that Spectrum is a selection of work produced during the last 10 years while living in Kansas City, Crystal writes. I've never been so nervous for an opening. That was kind of exhilarating after doing this for so many years. A few months before I started putting the show together, a good friend encouraged me to show people everything that I am. I think the narrative concealed my wide range of expression. Welcome to the show, Crystal.
Maria, it's such a treat to be here with you.
Oh, my goodness. It's been too long, my friend. And, you know, I really miss you. But I'm so excited about this exhibition. Tell us more.
Okay. Well, as you said, it is a collection of work that has been produced while living right here in the Crossroads Arts District. And it felt appropriate. I'm kind of in a place where I'm sort of deciding my next move, and it felt really appropriate to sort of assess where I'm at and what I've accomplished, and let that sort of guide me to what whatever happens next.
You know, I love that, because what people may or may not know about Crystal is that she's really, really, truly, and honestly a Renaissance woman. She started dancing at age 4. Her mother taught her how to sew. She found her first job at a tiny regional theater as a costumer and dancer at 21, and that career lasted a decade. And you've done so many wonderful things. So, you know, I've been on the set with the best filmmakers of our time, theaters all over the world. So we're excited about your next venture.
Yeah, me too. I don't know. I honestly don't know what's next, but this pandemic, like for so many of us, sort of gave me an opportunity to slow down a bit and assess what's really important, you know. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I've continued with art in one form or another my entire adult life. So I'm just excited and open to what's next, whatever shape that takes.
Now, in Spectrum, which is this visual art exhibition, what are some things we're going to see? I know your work is quite lovely, and I'm very excited to share with our listeners what they'll see in gallery.
Yeah, so when I first decided to extend my art interest into visual fine art, I restricted myself to working on paper for about 3 years. I just felt like it was the logical place to begin. And so you'll see works on paper, even large scale works on paper from an exhibit at ENIM headquarters when they were downtown in that gorgeous, gorgeous building.
Mm-hmm.
And then what else? I have some works on Soak that are wide-ranging, things that are painted and stretched, as well as an installation piece that I've sort of decided is a sort of a contemplative, meditative space that people can enter. I do have one dress on display. I decided mostly to include that piece because it was one of the first silks that I painted by hand. And then I even have some large-scale oil work that's more recent. There's a room divider that is a large landscape. And then my newest body of work are a collection of oil paintings with, well, they're hooks. I know exactly why I started painting hooks, but it's a very different sort of, it has a different resonance than a lot of my other work, but it's, I think, and from the response of friends who have viewed the work, it's compelling in an interesting way.
You know, and with the work, you said hooks, right?
The
palette is somewhat muted, and it's, for me, it's quite mesmerizing, you know.
Thank you.
It just feels very hypnotic, and yet there's this hook. You know, I'm looking at the online, of course.
Great.
Yeah, it's just really incredible work. And people can go see this at the Lidi Volkas at 2012 Baltimore Avenue, Kansas City, Missouri. Take a look at their website for hours. And I believe that they're open today at noon or 1 until later on. Well, you have a First Friday there as well on this Friday.
Yeah, we did. We were open First Friday in April, and then they'll be open again this coming Friday. Please check their hours online. I think they are open until 8, maybe 9 p.m., but it was really extraordinary to be around people in person again.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Appreciating art. It felt like the First Fridays from a decade ago. Everyone was there for the art, and it was really lovely.
You know, and I love that you say that because, you know, you have been creating art for so long now in many different genres. So it's really exciting to see this work. I'm going to back up and say I'm looking at the website at Lidi Volkas, and they're closed today, but they're open tomorrow from 11 to 5 p.m. through Saturday, 11 to 5 p.m., and then Sunday, Monday,
Thank
Tuesday,
you.
They're closed. Oh, certainly. But
I should have looked at their hours.
That's okay. That's okay. You know, because I think, you know, things have changed so much that we just kind of assume, oh, yeah, it's going to be open. But, you know, I don't want anyone to miss your work. Crystal, can you share any social media platforms with us that our listeners may take a look at your work?
Sure. I am on Instagram, and it's my full name. And then I do have a page on Facebook. I'm revamping my website currently. And so, you know, as soon as that's available, that will be in my bio on Instagram. But I do have a link to the Lidi Volkas has been so brilliant in that they went immediately to creating online exhibits for their artists during the pandemic, and it's something that they're continuing to do. So I have that linked on my bio on Instagram as well.
Oh, good. You know, that's so important because I know talking earlier that, you know, although we've been closed down due to the pandemic, a lot of artists have found this opportunity to really create new work, whether it's, you know, 3D, 2D, you know, writing music, performance. It has even changed where there's more outdoor performances and all that. We're just so excited to have you and to have this work, Spectrum, which is a visual art exhibition by Crystal on display through May 29th. Just, you know, knowing your background that you've had such a lifetime in the arts and all different disciplines, that it's really exciting to see your work on the walls. Will this be somewhat of a visual journey of where you're at, could you say, or am I off the mark?
Yeah, I would say that's exactly what it is in a way. Definitely restricted to the last decade, but it's been really cathartic to fully express myself in one place. I, as you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, I did sort of get lured into the narrative behind what I was doing. Unlike your last guest, Clint, I'm not a constant producer. I think because of my days in theater, I really have to have a deadline and I have to have a show that I'm working toward. Mm-hmm. So for whatever reason, and very possibly because of that link in my past, I'm very driven by narrative. And so I think it's an opportunity to look at the work as standalone objects versus being a story,
okay,
at least for me personally. I'm sure everyone else is looking at it as, you know, as objects, but for me, that's been an important step, I think, in the right direction.
Well, is there any other materials, that any other sort of process or anything that you're looking at down the road that you want to conquer? Because, as I mentioned, you've done so much. And I'm just wondering, you know, do you have sort of, oh, this is something I might want to try? Anything on the horizon for you like that?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't use the word conquer, but because I feel like, in a lot of ways during my process, it's sort of a conversation with the medium, whatever it happens to be. I am a very precise and organized and sort of systematic person, but when I get down to the moment of creating, it is a little bit more free than that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I think I will continue my work and my exploration with beeswax, and I think I will be spending maybe more time with paper than I have in recent years, and specifically large scale. And then I think that this Hook series, I'm hooked. I'm not going to say this is something that I'll produce forever, but there's certainly compelling images that people can. I like work that people can interact with and have sort of create their own stories with it, and
I like that.
And spend time with it, and maybe it becomes something else over time too. And for me, the Hook is one of those things. And who knows, I might be designing clothes here in the near future, too.
I love that. You know, you just never know with this Crystal. She's just, you know. No, and I say that, you know, with admiration because, you know, you go back and look through your body of work. And even this is just so wonderful. I am a fan. I'm a very big fan of yours, Crystal.
So. Well, I'm a fan of you and everything that you do. And
thank you.
And for you to say that, it means a lot because you are the same and that you kind of haven't really restricted yourself and you've created quite a large variety of work that's all so impressive.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, if you want to share with us any last minute words, updates, or words of inspiration, whatever you want as we leave the show.
Oh, gosh. Actually, I'd like to, I know that you had Holly and James on the show, but I just want to reiterate to artists in the Kansas City area who might be interested in proposing work for the new airport to go to buildkci.com. There is all the information that you need to get yourself in the running for one of the, I think there are 15 walls dedicated strictly to artists in Kansas City and artists who have Kansas City ties.
Yes. Yes, I second that. I second that, my friend. Crystal Hyland, we love you. And you know what? Next time, thank you. Next time, we're going to have you live in the studio because we're kind of beginning to open it up here. So, you know, very cautiously.
Yes, I can't wait. I'm vaccinated. So,
yeah, good. We're happy about that. Thank you so much, my friend, Crystal. And we'll be talking
Take
to you
care.
Soon. Congratulations on your show, too.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You bet.
It was good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you always. And that sort of rounds out our episode of Arts Week Radio. Many thanks to Consuelo Cruz, Crystal Hyland, Clint Metcalf. Next week, May 12th, we have Hugo Ishmela Salido, and we have folks from Art Spark who are affiliated with the Kansas City Rep, and they're going to be online next week with us to share with us that wonderful endeavor. Stay tuned next for Jeff Harshbarger, and I see that Roger Wilder is filling in for him. We love that, Roger. We love him. Thank you so much for listening, and honey, I'm coming home.